You're storing memories to lose them again. You'll forget everything when this whole thing ends. You can't even predict what tomorrow brings. But don't lose track of living in the present.
Welcome to the Memory Distillery, everyone. I'm Anthony Vernary.
And I'm John Deck, and each week we will malt, mash, ferment, and distill our way through the spirits of our past in the form of long-loved movies.
And this week...
Would you like to know more?
That's right, we're watching Starship Troopers from 1997, directed by Paul Verhoeven, series regular Paul Verhoeven, I would say now, wouldn't you, John?
Regrettably, yes, I would say that. He just rears his head in places you don't expect, and there you have it.
Just shows up. This is exciting. This is a movie that I remember watching back in the 90s and thinking it was cool and not really thinking about again. And then we were going, hey, what should we watch? And I'm scrolling through Netflix and Starship Troopers pops up.
And I immediately said, that sounds like an awesome idea, but not for the reasons you might suspect.
Well, what actually, you are might, the reasons, John?
You might suspect that if you have listened to this podcast ever and have heard me. But no, I hated that movie when it came out. I really...
Wait. Hold on. Back up for a second.
Yeah.
Are you telling me on our podcast that you hated a movie?
Yeah. So, I know. Drink it in. It's...
Sorry, I had to
get
that.
Are you done? Yeah.
I am done now, yeah.
No, I think it's a great idea to go back and listen because, or not listen, watch this movie and to talk about it because I really, really did not like it at all. And people are like, that's because you don't get it. It's deep. It's got satire. You don't get that. I'm like, no, I understand what satire is. I just didn't like it. But that was when it first came out and it's been a long time. And maybe there's something in there that now I'm going to rediscover and go, you know what? I'm glad and happy to admit it's wrong. This is actually entertaining. I'm into this. You know, let's give it a shot. And I have a broader perspective on the world. It's been, you know what, 20 plus years, 25 years, I guess, ish.
Oh my God, it's 25 years. Jeez.
Yeah, so it's like a lot has changed as a human being. The world has changed. Maybe this is the time that, you know, things flip around. And I actually end up liking this movie. But even if it doesn't, sometimes some of our best movies reviews and episodes are when I hate something and just go against it with the full force of everything I can bring to muster. So that being said,
that's very true.
I'm in. I think this will be fun. I think we should just skip past all the pleasantries and go past all the musings of what might or might not be and just dive right into the movie.
I couldn't agree more. We're going to go watch this. It's currently streaming basically everywhere. It's on Netflix and Hulu and HBO Max and Tubi, and you can get on the rental services as well, or I'm sure you have it in your DVD collection. Anyway, when we come back, we are talking Starship Troopers. John, are you ready?
I am.
Then let's do it.
The only good bug is a dead bug.
You're damn right. Welcome back, everybody. John, this movie's longer than I remember it being, which isn't necessarily a complaint. I remember it being considerably shorter, though, for some reason. I don't know if that's just sort of some weird Mandela effect thing, or if maybe I just not processed a lot of the content in this movie. Did you have any of the same sort of impression? Or,
well, I mean, I definitely agree that the movie was long, or longer than I would wish for, but like you said, you don't necessarily have any complaints. So like, overall, would you say then it was a positive reaction, it just happened to be longer than what you remembered?
Yeah, I would say overall I enjoyed it. If I had to be that succinct, overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was a bit long, but I don't feel like it was unnecessarily long, meaning like, for what it was and what the movie was, I didn't feel like, yeah, if they just made a few edits here and there, it would really turn it into a a great movie and all that, but now it sucks because it was a bit too long. But yeah, I think it had, I hesitate to say words like epic because it's not, didn't have an epic feel, but it had more parts and took place over a greater amount of time with different fade-ins and fade-outs and different segments of different acts playing out in different places than I had remembered.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I got the sense, and I couldn't really put it to words until you just said that, I got the sense from this movie that this would have been better as like a series of vignettes.
Mm, yep.
Like, and telling a completely different story. We don't need a central character. Just, like, let's cut it into pieces and tell different parts of this war story.
Well, I guess, see, that's the thing about this that I'm kind of trying to wrestle with. I'm not trying to be overtly negative. I'm trying to, like, digest this movie and look for it, you know, look for the good and the bad and separate things. Like, I didn't enjoy the movie. I didn't hate it as much as I recall hating it when I first saw it. But I think there's something interesting, like, and I think it's just the process of me trying to figure out, what is this movie? What's it trying to say? Is it just trying to be fun? Is it trying to have a message? Is it both? Is it everything? Like, what is it doing? And yes, I can see certain elements at play that are either obvious or somewhat obvious. But, you know, if you go to the source material, and this was essentially like a young adult sci-fi book that was fairly serious, but aimed for a younger audience. And then the interpretation on this was to, you know, dive heavy into satire and stuff like that. But I'm still trying to feel like, even though there were definitely scenes and bits and pieces of things that were, you know, hammed up a bit, it wasn't necessarily funny anywhere in the movie, at least from my perspective. Not that it needs to be, but so it wasn't, but I feel like it wasn't really like lighthearted, you know, handling it. It felt fairly, you know, intense in that way, but I didn't ever really feel that connected to any of the characters in it. And it felt like, maybe as this could be more of a commentary on war being a meat grinder and not so glamorous and all these things, because it really felt kind of Sisyphusian at times.
There's a fucking $10 word.
I mean, it's that whole, like, instead of rolling a boulder up a mountain only to have it roll down the other side and keep rolling it back up, it just felt like, you know, we're going to drop down a bunch of space marines with machine guns that are clearly not effective weapons against these insects, and they just kind of get destroyed, and then we repeat that. Like, I know that's not all that happens, but, like, that feeling is just like, if we throw ourselves hard enough against them, maybe at some point in time we'll figure out a better way to kill them. And that kind of wore me down after a little while.
it does. Like, you get really, really sort of war weary from this movie. And I think that that's sort of the message that it's sending in and of itself. So follow me here for a second. So we don't really know a whole lot about the intervening years between now and this future.
Sure.
Where people in Buenos Aires talk like Denise Richards and everyone else in this movie.
That's home.
for Buenos Aires! So you have whatever span of time there's been between now and then where we don't really know what has happened aside from the world has fallen into a fascist dystopia. So you have the civilians and you have the citizens, and the only way to be a citizen is to, you know, to sign up for federal service. And it's this sort of compulsive service or conscription, and the culture that it breeds and the programming that happens within that. And even before the military part of it, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but toward the beginning of the movie, they're at the going, walking from class to class, and they're on the wall is the name of this place, and it's not a school. This is the Buenos Aires Education Center.
Right.
It's not a school, and it's very deliberate, that wording. This is, they're educating. This is the education that they're giving to them, to indoctrinate them into this lifestyle and this culture. And part of that is getting kids to sign up and go and volunteer to die. That's the message that it's sending, I think, is this is a meat grinder. This is something that probably happens every 20 to 30 years. They find some other boogeyman to go after to keep the leash tightened.
See, that's kind of like, if we're going that route, it's like, I almost like, I wanted to see that woven into the movie. I wanted to see both all the mindless action stuff that we saw, and the trials and tribulations of war, whatever. And then I wanted there to be more story about the history. I wanted to see a pattern and to justify this, you know, world state of, you know, whatever you want to call it, fascist dystopia or whatever, or, you know, like something might not necessarily be fascist, might not be this, that, or the other, but it's clearly has tinges of such things. And, but like, yeah, I think if, because these bugs, these insects, it's like they're more or less a species that is, you know, they don't go into great depth until the brain bug or whatever, of it being anything more than just simply like a literal bug in terms of how we interpret their intelligence or purpose. They're just there to kind of procreate and spread across the universe, the end. And maybe that's just it. So there's no malice. It's just, this is how they exist. But like, did we trigger that? Did our exploration, did our need to take over areas just trigger a reaction, like stepping on an anthill or something like that? And do we have a history of that? Like, is this what the earth, the world has become, is something that's, you know, a group of people who've invented space travel on a grander scale, and we use that to just colonize? And it certainly wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing to say history repeated, except instead of expanding westward, it's expanding in all axi. So I think that might really have given me a little more context to balance against just the exhaustion of the mindlessness of it.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
So, speaking of these bugs, how did you feel about the, and I'll even say beyond the bugs, how did you feel about the effects in this movie overall?
I mean, I honestly think that they stood up really well for the most part, and some of the things that were the roughest weren't the things you'd expect, like, meaning that the bugs seem to be a rather clever mix of practical and CG, I'm guessing, or some kind of rotoscoping, or, you know, something incorporating them like incredibly well. And like, I think it was, and it looks up, I don't know anything, but it had to be a mix, and definitely a lot practical. And so in that regard, I think they held up quite well for a lot of this. And then in terms of some of the green screen stuff behind the people who were comped in, and some of the lasers and some of the explosions, some of the things like that were all just kind of a little rough and haphazard. But yeah, I mean, I have no real complaints on that angle. It was perfectly decent. I think that the way the action scenes were choreographed were a mix of interesting and could have been potentially tense, but instead were meant to be just overwhelming noise. Like, I think that was a choice. Almost all the battles just consisted either of just swarms of insects, and then some close-up fighting where they shoot their machine guns for 30 seconds straight, and then a bug runs up to him and just jabs him in the arm or the chest or the leg or something. Like, that's just like repeat over and over and over again.
I think almost everything about how this movie was shot was deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that every every shot is sharp. There's no soft edges to anything. It's all very stark and very sharp and very utilitarian and very bright. Like, everything is very brightly lit, and you see everything. There's never a moment of, oh, there's this really tense, dark scene where we're going to, you know, maybe something's going to pop out and it's going to be really scary. There was never any of that. And yet there was still a lot of tension in this movie in terms of, you know, what's going to happen next. And, you know, is this next wave the last? And is, you know, are there more coming, or is anybody else going to die or whatever, whatever, whatever. So all that to say, I think I agree. I think that they did, from an effect standpoint, a wonderful job.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Hey, let's just stick to Paul Verhoeven references here, okay?
Oh, okay, sorry. I'll buy that for a showgirl.
Ah, there we go.
Okay. Yeah, I think the aesthetics of what the choices that were made, like, you almost want to just say bravo for sticking to your vision. Even if I didn't like it, yeah, you stayed consistent. You know, like, it's that there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. Like, they got a lot done for, I don't know what the budget was on this, but I don't think they poured too much into it. Like, it wasn't the most
expensive. $100 million.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Back in the 90s, that was on par. But, like, I mean, you had movies like Titanic coming out the same year, so it was like, you know, like, that scale of things, you know, wasn't necessarily overwhelming. But yeah, I don't know. I think the movie,
I think looking back, like, just on my memory of Titanic, I would say that they did more with what would effectively be this. Wasn't it the same budget?
Oh, I don't know.
Titanic was $100 million, wasn't it?
At least, yeah. But you know what Titanic had?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Characters.
That's also true.
This movie didn't have characters. Like,
no, which closest, is weird.
The closest it came, you know, the let's call, like, somewhere around 4 to 5 characters who had more than just, you know, like, no names. Like, you had the lead male recruit guy and his girlfriend, and then the stalker girl, and then Doogie. And then you had, like, the drill instructor and like, that other guy, the, you know, Clancy.
The guy was missing the hand.
Well, that too. But like, you had those individuals who were, I'll be generous and say that they had more of a fleshed out character scheme. That's being very generous. But, like, you just hit waves and waves of people who are there just to be fodder. But they take beats every once in a while to try to make you feel something, and that just absolutely fails. Like, when What's-His-Face took his helmet off and was accidentally shot, you know, in the live fire exercise, and then people are, like, crying over it and quitting and all that. It's like, oh, yeah, he's gone, whatever. Like, I don't care at all what's going on with that, and, you know, let's slow down the action and talk about, you know, oh, man, this is rough. But I guess it was all just kind of a way to set it up for them to say, no, we still think he got what it takes. It doesn't matter. He wants to win, so let's send it back in.
What's wild about that whole thing to me, too, is we're not that far removed here at the time that this comes out in December of 1997 from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Which does that training montage, or that training, I'm not going to say sequence because that's not the right word, but act, the training act, does it like, that's the golden standard as far as anyone is concerned if we're talking about basic training. Well, okay, Stripes, but no, it's it is, though. Like, that's the gold standard as far as, like, the depiction of military training. And so when you go out and do this, like, it feels lazy.
How can you call it lazy when all these people are doing all those flips and jumps in the air?
That is true.
There were a lot of, like,
extra human ability, superhuman fucking flips, especially in the arena ball fucking match. Like,
but you know, who knows? Maybe that was all enhanced with the technology of the future.
By the National Arena Ball League.
Yeah, all that was really something. But that's what happens in the future. You jump better.
Yeah, it's got to be. I don't know, maybe Earth's gravity is off or something.
We were the insects all along.
Oh, the insects were the friends that we made along the way.
Yeah. Well, you said we only want to do Verhoeven references here. So, I mean, how does a movie like this stack up to the other 25 of his movies that you've reviewed?
Well,
I mean, I guess we Total Recall and RoboCop are those the only two.
Those are the only other two, yeah, that I can think of. Total Recall and RoboCop. Yeah, that sounds right. I have trouble ranking his movies because they are so similar in so many ways.
But here's the thing: Total Recall and RoboCop, I feel like, had plots.
That is true.
This doesn't really have a plot.
But here's the thing is, I think that we're supposed to, as the audience, sort of see this in... you know how the way it was sort of laid out in chunks with the, you know, oh, here's a news clip of the...
Yeah.
The council, and now we're going to the front line. I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part. Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more?
That guy. Like, it felt very, like, 20s, 30s cinema, like, getting the news in between short films kind of feel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that was definitely on purpose, and that was their interpretation on how to, you know, give it that satirical edge. And there's a part of that I enjoyed, or at least didn't hate, but it was just like when you mentioned how it could be a series of vignettes instead of a 2-hour-ish movie, like, I don't know if I'd want to see all of those vignettes, but like when you have like a breaking news story, I know we're like 24/7 news, and so if there's happens to be, I don't know, an invasion of a sovereign country or something, you can see news people talking about this nonstop.
Could you try to make like a relevant reference, something that's happening?
I can't think of anything relevant now. But okay, but like, so you have access to that, it's all over. But for this, it just felt like the point it was trying to make could have been punched in there in like a 10-minute segment. The 2-hour movie felt like, oh man, like I have this idea, and I guess, I mean, it really could have been done in 10 minutes, but let's make it 2 hours instead.
Well, if you're going to give Paul Verhoeven $100 million to make a movie, he's going to do it.
That's true. Can't argue with Verhoeven money.
That's true. Paul Verhoeven movies have this thing where everything seems just like 5-7% overacted.
Is that all?
Or exaggerated. Maybe I'm being a little modest with that number, but like it seems very like almost soap opera-y. And I'm not even just talking about Starship Troopers. Like,
and
in all of these movies.
Is Michael Ironside in every Paul Verhoeven movie?
He might be.
Definitely in the ones we've seen.
Let's find out.
But yeah, like, you have some good actors in the mix here, but like everything is...
I was worried that when I just pulled up Michael Ironside that I was going to see Born and then Died, and I was going to be very upset.
And that didn't happen?
It didn't happen. He is still alive as far as IMDb is concerned.
All right. Thank God for small miracles.
That's right.
Lana! Sorry, I was going to go into a whole Archer thing, but...
Yeah, I felt it coming.
Yeah, I just didn't have the energy after watching this movie, though.
Oh no.
It was a little exhausting. It really was.
It was. But it was a little bit. I was getting pretty worn out toward the end for sure.
It's just how many different color guts are going to explode out of these bugs. That's what, you know.
It was like watching the paintball scene in 10 Things I Hate About You where they threw paint grenades.
Yeah, and speaking of paint grenades, why not like just use grenades and stuff? Like, I'm really caught up on this whole like inefficiency of fighting.
It's terrible how they're so reliant on small arms to fight this war, as though throwing infantry at giant bugs is going to fix a problem.
And they have these things they call nukes, but obviously they're not nuclear weapons, even though they're saying they are. But like, so they have...
I mean, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a fucking nuke, like...
No, it's probably a duck.
No, it is probably a duck, you're right.
So why weren't they fighting with more ducks? That would have made it interesting if they, like... They, like, land, and they're all dramatic, and they pull out these cases that you imagine have, like, rocket launchers, and they open it up, and then, like, this, like, battalion of smaller, like, just not Howard the Duck human ducks, but, like, actual small mallard ducks come running out of this case, but they've got, like, brass knuckles on their wings, and they just go running in, and then they start fighting the bugs. I think that would have been a fun movie.
I have an important question to ask you.
Is it about ducks?
It is.
Okay.
And about bugs, actually. Would you rather fight 10 Clendathu-sized bug-sized ducks or 1,000 duck-sized bugs?
I mean, I don't want to fight any. I'm a peaceful person, Anthony, but if push comes to shove, those ducks would be pretty soft-bellied. I think they would be the ones that I'd need to have as targets.
It's the correct answer.
Yeah.
You chose wisely. And plus, that's going to make for good eating afterwards.
Exactly. Too. I mean, I'm thinking tactically, strategically, and with my stomach.
Yep.
Although, you know, I haven't ever cooked duck myself. So I hear it's a kind of a difficult protein to nail. And so, you know, if I had to fight these giant ducks and, you know, the wages of war and all that, I guess I'd want to make the most use out of these giant mutant enemies and see what I can cook up.
Well, good luck to you. I appreciate you coming out and saying all those kind words.
Speaking of kind words, let's get back to this movie because it's just so good. Wait, which movie are we talking about? Are we talking about Titanic? I can't remember.
We stopped talking about Titanic a while ago.
But Titanic had, like, Jack in it. Remember? A character who had a backstory that you could follow.
And Rose.
I guess that's not fair to what's-his-name, whose backstory is, my parents don't want me to fight in the war, and I am.
So it's Johnny Rico, and I only know that because I bought the Funko Pop on clearance.
Well, that's interesting.
At the Funko outlet in Everett.
But like, did they have a sign saying, hey, on sale, generic Funko Pop, you don't even have to know who this character is, we'll give it to you for like 10 cents?
That was what the sign said, word for word.
That's cool. I mean, sometimes you just need something to like weigh down a stack of papers.
Yeah,
papers are these tiny slivers of trees that
Hold on. You just triggered an idea, a thought in my head. Why do they keep saying, write me?
Yeah.
Write me. Hey, hey, Johnny Rico, will you write to me?
Write me with your digital video camera.
Write to me with your camera and your words that come from your mouth hole and not from your CDs. Hands.
Maybe that's what they mean. They
on
mean
your little UMD, your little PSP like, disc.
That's what it is. It's like a write-only disc. Like, it writes the data onto it, and that's... See, we figured it out. That's what it is. Write me, as in tell your computer to write this video and audio data onto this small CD disk.
CDRW. W means write. Write the data. Yes, exactly.
So does R. Write.
W.
Well, we agree to disagree.
Okay.
So have you ever seen another movie that had bugs in it?
I have.
I'm struggling.
I've seen a number of movies that have bugs in them.
Like, you have a movie, say, like Arachnophobia. And that,
I was going to say Jumanji, but yeah, go ahead.
Arachnophobia, it's been a long time. Maybe I'd watch that again, and I imagine I might have a slightly more complex viewing than I did with this movie. Who knows? But if I recall, it was like this mixture of horror with a touch of comedy, and had a bunch of spiders in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's a bug movie. We did it.
Great job.
All right. Well, this has been our show, Movies right. with Bugs in It. I'm John Deck. Thanks for listening.
I think we may have milked this cow to its empty udder. This was a fine movie. It was okay.
But okay, let's cows. There's Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. There's I hate to get on tangents.
Back to the barnyard.
We really don't like to get on tangents in the show. But have you seen any of Peacemaker yet?
No.
That's a shame.
I've been holding off because I haven't watched The Suicide Squad. And okay. Then somebody told me, oh, no, you don't need to. You can just watch Peacemaker.
You definitely don't need to, but I recommend. I mean, I didn't love the Suicide Squad. It was okay for certain things. But, I mean, if you're going to go in, you might as well watch it. And you might watch it and think, interesting that this is the character they're choosing to do a show about. And then it'll just, I think, blow your expectations out of the water. I can't help how much I liked it. I'm almost embarrassed by the fact that I liked it, because it really is. It's just so outside of my typical wheelhouse of shows and things I enjoy. But yeah, I really liked it. And there's, you know, there's a cow reference. That's why I brought it up.
I've heard literally nothing but good things about that show. So yep. I might have to just.
Even the opening credits alone game changer.
The weather is probably going to be shitty again this weekend. Maybe I can just like knock out the Suicide Squad, then I can start watching Peacemaker.
I mean, and as long as we're talking about Peacemaker, have you watched Reacher?
No.
What are you doing with your life, Anthony? Do you like actually accomplish things during the week? What's your problem?
No, I'm barely a functioning adult. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know how much of The Expanse I've watched?
All of it, I hope.
No, I just started season 2.
Oh my god. Okay, so we're doing a movie podcast, but really our podcast should be, let's get Anthony caught up on good TV shows, because obviously you need help on that front.
Maybe that's the new podcast, where we call it Catching Up with John and Anthony.
We need a better title.
Where we just make me catch up on, and it'll be us on a ketchup bottle. It'll be hilarious.
Yes, I like the ketchup bottle angle, but let's call it, we'll call it, it's got to start with the music. We'll call it Catching Up with John and Anthony. Here's some ketchup. We got sick of Starship Troopers. Now we want French fries with ketchup. And by French fries, we mean TV shows with John and Anthony.
And ketchup.
Yeah, that. Gonzo, blah. We're close.
We just got to workshop a couple things. Yeah. It'll be great.
I'd hate to put people through all of our creative process, because some of it's not as interesting as you might think.
That's for the Patreon. That's the Patreon
channel. That's the Patreon channel.
Workshopping
shows. Chops.
Chopped. That's the name of the name of the show is Chopped.
Wow.
No one's taking that one.
I think, what can we do to salvage this?
That's our show, everyone. Yeah, thanks so much for listening to us each and every week, as we steal another favorite from our past. We have new episodes on Monday, so come and check us out on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts and all those different podcast apps. TMDpod.com and da-da-da-da-da, and you know the things, and I did the things. And I
listen,
said the
Anthony.
Now it's John's turn.
Listen to me. I want to tell you a quick story here, because we don't do enough storytelling on the show.
Wow me.
So I was sitting down to watch Starship Troopers 4. Return to Spock.
And holy shit, they made a fourth one of this?
It's called Return to Spock, and it's like a Star Trek crossover. And And as I'm watching that, I'm listening and I'm like, wait a second. I think I noticed some of this music in the background. Who was this? Who's am I just listening to? And it was Daft Punk.
What?
It was Daft Punk's Random Access Memories. It was the entire, not just soundtrack, but also the script for the fourth Star Trek Troopers movie, which is actually the fifth one, because there was a third movie called Star Trek Troopers Jr., but they didn't number it. So technically, it was the fifth movie, but they called the fourth. You know how that works. And the whole point...
Was it just kids running around going, I'm doing my part?
No. It's way different than that. They're like, stronger, okay. Faster, better, better. And then they started shooting people. That was the noise of them shooting people. And then, at the end, end credits roll, Destroying the Evidence by Semaphore is the song they play. So I was like, we are the one that looks like Izzy's now, because that came out before our podcast started, and we didn't realize that that's where they got their big start, probably. But all of you listening should realize that out of all of those lies, the one thing that is true is there's a song called Destroying the Evidence by Semaphore we use on our podcast, and they are a band worth checking out. If you're sick and tired of podcasts that waste your time like ours, how about you help us make it better? Email us, thememorystillery@gmail.com, and tell us how to take a hard right turn into a better way of things.
There are literally no wrong answers here.
I mean, outside of the whole ketchup thing. That was wrong.
Yeah, maybe the ketchup thing wasn't the best.
Yeah. So just give us your thoughts and ideas, because, you know, we're doing Starship Troopers and we might do all like 17 of them. If you guys don't speak up and give us some direction, we are not adults who can handle this on our own. We rely on your feedback. Hop onto Facebook and look up the Memory Distillery. Just post on our page there. Give us some direction for the first time ever, please. Thank you.
Pull your fucking weight.
But sorry, I'm taking out on all you the listeners. I've watched a lot of people get stabbed in the legs by bugs, and that's just worn me down. I'll get better. Don't worry. I am glad that you guys were all here to take part in this travesty. And thanks for listening. This is John Beck,
and I'm Anthony Veneri, and this has been the Memory Distillery.
Would you like to know more?